Hi, this is Christina Turode, executive editor of CertCIO.com, here with Troy Dumoulin, vice president of professional services at IT management best practices firm Pink Elephant, and contributor to the recently published book Run, Grow, Transform, Integrating Business and Lean IT. Hi, Troy. Thanks for joining me.
It's my pleasure, Christina. Glad to be here today.
How do you apply lean practices to IT services management?
When you think about IT service management, as it's written up in all the books, it talks about doing things right. When you think about lean, it's doing the right things. Doing things right, that's ITIL, that's IT service management, that's all of the wonderful things described by best practice, by theory. Doing the right things may mean different levels. So it's a subtle shift, but I think it's also a very important balance, because doing the right things is not always the best when you're doing too much of the right thing, if you get my meaning.
Can you give an example of one thing that is lean that would be applied to IT service management?
Lean is kind of a way of thinking or approaching the question of improvement. It's doing just enough, doing fit for purpose, doing not too much, but not too little either. So it's finding that balance. There's been a lot of discussion recently about light ITIL or light IT service management. And if you think about it this way, what does that really mean? Because I often get this question from organizations about how does IT service management apply to small, medium shops or small shops even. Recently, I was talking to an organization with just 5 IT employees. All IT organizations have the same basic practices. They talk to their clients about what they need in the future. They then take those requirements and they build blueprints and designs for what these could look like from a requirements basis. They then have to get these vetted, approved, also funded. They have to take that set of services in their embryonic form, build them out, move them to production, and then they've got to support them. So pretty much all the ITSM processes apply, the entire value stream. Come back to that concept. But the question is, how deep do you go? Right. This is where the lean concept comes in. If you've got the entire scope of processes, the same scope of processes in a shop of 5 people versus an IT organization with several hundred, the question really then has to be, how much is enough? This is where lean says, okay, what really is necessary? How do I optimize that? Then what is necessary, but can we minimize? That's where we get into the administrative side. This is the necessary non-value add. And then what is really redundant or waste, and can I eliminate it? So this is where I get to the point of doing things right, doing it to fit for purpose. Let me give you an example. So when we're recording incidents, for example, things when we have people complain that a service has been disrupted, I still need to record that incident, but do I need a $500,000 tool to do that? Perhaps not. Perhaps I can use an Excel spreadsheet, and it's fine for that small organization. That's certainly not going to cut the mustard, if you will, for a larger organization. What kind of reporting am I going to do? I might need to cut it down to just the basic reports that ensure that services are restored within a timely manner. So I may only have 1 or 2 key performance indicators that I define. It's really about the depth that you go to versus the scope or the width.
What about CIOs? Why should they consider applying lean to their own ITSM practices?
It's this balancing act, because you know you can get people who go to the ITIL class and they come back all charged up about the theory of how things are done, but then they take that theory and they try to apply it in its perfection, and perfection is never the goal. So when you have someone who is lean trained, this is the filter of doing just enough but not more than that, and they also understand the right things to do, which is where ITSM comes in. That CIO will know that the investment they're making, the formality they're putting in place, will not be overkill. Otherwise, you know, we have this real focus now today where things have to not only be effective, but they also have to be cost efficient. So the lean introduction to this conversation of best practice is keeping us honest to say, okay, what's the cost efficient or the focus of value that we're looking at here for this process? It's the balancing act of doing things right and doing the right things.
Is this being driven by anything in particular? It just reminds me of a conversation that I had about mobile application development and the need for speed and getting mobile apps out there, for example. Is it being driven by any particular trend or emerging technology or need?
There are a couple of key drivers. One is the cost, and that's not new to us because, you know, we've been going through almost a decade, basically, of cost reduction. That's often the most strategic thing that IT is supposed to deliver is cost reduction to the business. So doing things at the right cost is a major driver, so not doing it overkill. But there's also speed, and you hit a major component there when you talked about delivering mobile apps to the environment. You may have heard of the whole DevOps movement. It's really kind of fostered by the development side of the shop as well. It says, how do we move things to production quickly? A continuous delivery, continuous development, continuous movement to production. Okay, so the speed, the velocity, the throughput, this concept of speed to market is key value from the point of view of the development side of the organization. Meanwhile, on the other side of the fence, sitting in the data center, you have this operations group, and they're all about service management and risk avoidance and stability, control. So they're putting up walls. Now, are the walls justifiable? Yes and no. The right level of control is great, but too much control could also slow things down too much. Lean says, what's the right level of control, and how do you optimize the throughput and the performance at the same time? If you looked at it from only the ITIL perspective, it's all about guardianship, control, and stability, and boring. If you looked at it from a lean, it's a value, but also quality, but also speed. So it brings in that speed question.
You mentioned continual improvement a few times. Can you take a look at where to start in terms of how to use lean principles for continuous service improvement?
This is where ITIL and lean differ a little bit. So ITIL would say we're continually improving this to improve the realization of what we're trying to do, the goal of the process, the result of the service, right? So it's always about get better, get better, get better, get higher quality. And that's fine. There's some goal to that. But what I like about the lean concept of continuous improvement is a little bit different. And this is actually quoted in that book you mentioned, Run, Go, Transform. The definition of continual improvement there is the relentless elimination of waste so that we can reinvest that released resource back into new value generation. While it's all about getting better on the ITIL side, it's about how do we release resources today that we're really not taking advantage of and redeploy them for continual improvement. So that translation of waste into value is a unique lean principle when you apply it to service management.
Is it being applied to certain areas of the business or IT service management more so than others if they have this transfer of value or capabilities?
These principles are pretty general. In fact, lean has been around for a long time, as we know, started by the Toyota Production System, and it's come from the business and only recently been introduced to the IT context. And that's also in concert with the IT organization just trying to get its stuff together, its practices in a better place, its processes improved. This introduction of lean to IT is something relatively new, but that's simply because there's this new focus on improving process overall. One of the interesting things I like to talk about, though, Christina, is that we often overcomplicate things. And one of the things that ITIL can be guilty of is that it looks at a process-by-process view of improvement. So one group over here is trying to fix the service desk. Another group over here is fixing change management. Another group over here is looking at disaster recovery, IT service continuity. Another group over here is figuring out the service level management or service catalog. And they all go about their CSI improvement actions in unique silos. In fact, the interesting thing is you can improve each of these areas and still not improve the overall value flow of how value is delivered to the business. Because basically, you're doing CSI in silos, in this case, process silos, believe it or not. So one of the things that lean makes us focus on is that really this whole set of processes that we look at from a CSI perspective in ITIL have to be put into a simple concept of customer demand is received, we take that, we plan, build, and then we run. So it makes the process continual improvement activity focused on the overall value stream of demand, plan, build, run. It lifts our eyes out of the silo mentality and makes us focus on the value to the customer, and that's the macro value stream that lean brings to us.
How can CIOs really focus on value activity and minimize non-value activity?
Anything we do in life is the product of a process. Whether we're building a car in a manufacturing sense, whether we're running an IT shop, whether we're figuring out a specific process like change management. You can categorize all the activities at those various levels into three basic concepts. Stuff that you're doing that directly impacts your goal. That's what we call value-added activity. So if I'm doing something, I should be able to ask myself, is what I'm doing today either directly impacting the goal or not? This is called value-based work. It's really the stuff, if you had to pay for it, would you willingly pay for it? Then there are things that we do that do not directly impact the goal, don't achieve the objective, they don't get the change approved, but we know we have to have them in place, because unless we had them in place, we wouldn't have the governance or the glue that holds it all together to keep it working consistently over time. For example, we put a process owner in place to ensure accountability and consistency in a continual look at improvement. We put measurement in place to ensure that what's happening is the right thing that should happen, and if it's not, then we can correct it. So that's a report. None of these activities directly get the change approved or a project completed, but without project controls, without the report, I'm pretty sure that none of these things are going to happen. Now, the reality is, if I do too much of all that, then I'm not going to receive the value. So this is what we call necessary non-value. And then the last category of work is waste. And that is stuff that we're doing that can't be directly identified as a contributor to either achieving the goal or even helping to achieve the goal. And that's sometimes where we're actually doing the same thing over and over again. So this is where redundancy comes in. There's reports that we're generating that no one even looks at. We have a stage in our process that adds no value at all. There are many things that we do today that are just waste. You can even look at it from the point of the automation. Like, it's very, very common where you have an organization that has multiple processes. Very few organizations are process poor. The fact is that we have redundant processes. We have many ways to fix things, many ways to change things, many ways to capture data about things. And when we have many ways of doing the same thing, you have to ask yourself why. The fact that we have many is a wasteful activity. It's redundancy. CIOs have to look at all three activities and then be able to ask honest questions to say, okay, how do I optimize value add, minimize the non-value but necessary, and totally eradicate waste?
You call the theory of constraints, lean thinking, and Six Sigma being the three sisters for continual service improvement.
While lean is a thinking process that makes us think about the right things to do, the right level of things, there are other thinking processes that help us as well. And this is where we bring in the two other models. One's called theory of constraints, and one is called Six Sigma. Now, in and of themselves, they can go into very, very deep detail, but we don't need to go there to make use of them. Theory of constraints. If you would agree that everything in life is a process, there's a goal, there's a set of inventory we have to transform into something we have to achieve, some objective. The interesting thing about that is that no system, no process, nothing that we do in life can be any faster than that limiting constraint or bottleneck. So let's say, for example, we had to build a server or we had to develop a mobile application. There might be 5 steps, there might be 20 steps, there might be 200 steps. To get that car built, to get that app to market, I have to complete all the steps to get to the final stage. Now, I can guarantee you that that car will not be built faster than, or that app moved to market faster than, or that change approved quicker than the limiting bottleneck. So think about all this stuff that's happening in the flow. You have the number of activities they're firing off. They could be sequential. There could be more than one activity happening at one point. But somewhere in that flow of activities, there's going to be a step or a person where they're just overburdened. They're off on vacation. They're doing something else. So guarantee you that in front of that person, that step, that activity, that workstation, you're going to have a whole bunch of to-do items, inventory, pile up in front of that person. And you know that that thing is not going to get completed until that person is able to complete that task and it moves on through the stream. So that system is not going to be any faster than wherever the bottleneck happens. So one of the things we have to do to improve any process is to identify where the bottlenecks are. This is what we call the constraint. So, of course, one of the things that you have to do to actually even understand where the bottleneck is to understand the end-to-end process. That's one of the reasons we do value stream mapping or process definition. But so finally, we find this bottleneck. We can improve this by adding another person. So we're adding capacity, so we can double the amount of work that station can do. Or we can kind of siphon work around it, you know, find an alternate route. So we remove that bottleneck, so it begins to flow faster through that task, that activity, that person. What happens immediately afterwards? You're going to start to find the next bottleneck. So the system will go faster until it hits the next bottleneck where the whole thing begins again. So in one premise, one way you can look at continual improvement is bottleneck management, basically. Keep finding the bottlenecks, keep improving the bottlenecks to continue improving the flow. So that's that speed concept. So moving applications to production faster would be to identify and eradicate or deal with bottlenecks. Speed is going to be impacted by your management, identification and management of these constraints. That's theory of constraints. Six Sigma has some very basic concepts. One, CSI is a never-ending story. You always have to continually look for ways to do better. It also talks about defects, and defects in relationship to your specification of what you're trying to achieve. So that's a widget coming off an assembly line, or that's a certain way that you achieve service restoration, or certain product quality characteristics that you define what truth should be like. So one of the things we do up front is, okay, what are the principles, what are the policies, what are the goals and objectives and activities of this process? And now when I have identified what should happen, I can then measure deviation from what should be. So the principle of a specification, this is where it's important to say, it's important to document what I expect so that I can measure deviation from it. So this principle of getting to a standard approach, standard work practices and elimination of deviation is another key philosophy of improving quality. That's one other element. And the last piece about Six Sigma is that many different frameworks have an improvement model. We have Plan, Do, Check, Act, Dr. Deming. ITIL has its own improvement model. But one of the things that I like about DMAIC is that it has an improvement model that I think is the most robust. And when I say DMAIC, that's the model within Six Sigma. It has key steps. Define, that's what is the specification. Measure, how am I deviating from my expected reality. Analyze, what's the impact of that deviation? Then I improve it based on my impact. But here's the part that I like best about this, which is control, which is the last part of this DMAIC life cycle. So once I've defined it, measured it, analyzed it, improved it, what do I put in place as a control that would be something that would ensure that next time I come through the cycle again, I can pretty much guarantee that I'll see it still in place. So I'm putting an owner in place to be accountable. I'm establishing measurements. I'm establishing checks and balances. So this control component, I believe, is important. That often is not looked at from the point of view of continual improvement. So when you take lean, which is doing the right things at the right level, not just doing things right, you take theory of constraints. Nothing is faster than its bottlenecks, so we better know where the bottlenecks are and manage them. And we take Six Sigma, the philosophy of defining what's expected and then measuring deviation from expected and improvement around the DMAIC life cycle. All three of these are like thinking filters you kind of put in front of your eyes, force you to think through the right way to do things. So you're not just taking ITIL out of the book and applying it blindly. You're doing it with principles that make business sense.
Thank you so much for that great overview of applying lean principles to ITSM, Troy.
Oh, my pleasure, Christina.
This has been Christina Terode, executive editor of CertCIO, with Troy Dumoulin, contributor to their book Run, Grow, Transform, Integrating Business and Lean IT, and vice president of professional services for Pink Elephant.